It is. I don't want to say what day it is because we can use this podcast again. We can use this show again. Mightier 1090, John Browner, Jason Lawhead. You can always find us. You guys already know this, but I'll tell the people who are first and foremost here for the first time. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram. But most importantly, you can like, subscribe, and share on Facebook. Not Facebook, I'm sorry. On YouTube. Brain Party. Oh, my God. YouTube and the iTunes podcast store under Captain and Crew. That's us. I'm John Browner. That's Jason Lawhead. What's up, Jason? We got it. We got some pops to stir today.
Yeah, man. I mean, we're going to have to because that Monday night game was so hard to watch. That was just like the battle of backing into a win last night.
If it looked like a thing, that was it.
The only way Jameis could have looked worse is having Geno on the field with him. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just one of those games where you're just like, man, these guys just, they were hard to watch play the position last night. But yeah, I mean, other than that, we've got a lot to talk about, a lot to get to. Maybe talk a little World Series later. We'll see. But what's on your mind, partner?
As always, or as sometimes, we have winners and losers on this show. Winners and losers, for people who don't know, we pick a winner from the sports world and a loser from the sports world. We don't necessarily start on one or the other at any particular time. We just go as we see fit the most important story as the winner and loser. Today, we started with the winner. The winner is our good friend.
Guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check. Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
I love it.
If you're going to cook somebody, please put a little seasoning on it. Okay? Thank you, Mike Tomlin. For people who don't know, you're just hearing that audio and you're like, what the hell is going on? I'll give you a little backstory. So on the Dan Patrick Show, Carson Palmer went on the show and mentioned Mike Tomlin as a candidate for the head coaching job at USC. This then caught wildfire because a former Heisman Trophy winner said this about his university and a guy who currently has the job, which led to inevitably these guys asking Mike Tomlin that stupid ass question. Here's the deal. From my perspective, why would you coach USC? If you're Mike Tomlin, why would you coach USC? If you're Urban Meyer, it makes sense. Hell, if you're Matt Nagy or Matt Nagy at this point, it probably makes sense. But outside of somebody like that, he nailed it at the end. You're not asking Sean Payton that question. Drew Brees just left him. Why wouldn't you? You're not asking Andy Reid that question. Patrick Mahomes is struggling. What the hell y'all asking me that question for? And Jason, how great was that?
Yeah, I loved it. And, you know, it's one of these things like, you know, it feels like Pittsburgh media, me being a Browns fan, I'm a little bit closer to that Steeler, you know, ear to the door type of what's going on over there. I just always feel like no matter how well, how mediocre or maybe a little under, you know, performing the Steelers are for maybe a couple of weeks early, which this guy's job status has always been in the crosshairs. And if you look at Mike Tomlin, like this guy with coaches, if you go look at all the coaches that have at least 100 wins in the NFL, I think he's third all time in winning percentage. I'm not lying. Vince Lombardi, to put it in perspective, Vince Lombardi doesn't even have 100 wins. I think he ended with 98. So if you look at all the coaches that have 100 or more wins in the NFL, he's like behind Belichick and maybe Paul Brown for winning percentage, I think. He's third all time. It's ridiculous. And the other thing is like, who cares about USC now? That was a primo job when that was the NFL job in town. But now that there's football in LA, not just one team, the Rams coming back, but the Chargers And it's not like these two teams are, you know, these loathed franchise. They're winning football games, and it looks like they have a sustainable future right now, both of those programs, to keep winning. So, and the other thing, it's like, dude, Mike Tomlin is literally has the job that invented hiring the black coach. The Pittsburgh Steelers are pretty much responsible for the idea of not only just interviewing, but going full bore and hiring black coaches. Like, if it wasn't for the Steelers stepping their foot across that line a long time ago, the Rooney Rule, I mean, there'd be less black coaches. So he's in a great situation if they just leave him alone and let him keep winning football games with what he's got.
I think the part about this that's really starting to annoy me is the audacity that college football programs have about the job that their school represents. Like, if I hear another person tell me we're firing the head coach at Nebraska because we need to get back to the winning ways of Nebraska, bro, that's gone, okay? Yeah. If you're going to tell me USC's the job has some higher stature than the Pittsburgh Steelers, I can't get on the same page as you. Because the USC job is totally dependent on the coach, okay? Because since Pete Carroll left, and by the way, didn't leave it in great shape. Since Pete Carroll left, the job's been dog doo-doo. It's been hot garbage. It's not a good job because they keep turning over ADs because you don't win. And when you turn over ADs, you traditionally turn over coaches. So what the hell is this job worth leaving something like what the Pittsburgh Steelers are offering you? Period. Mike Tomlin is a leader of men. He can handle a man's locker room. He's not Nick Saban, who proved that he couldn't. He's not that idiot who got caught on his motorcycle with his girlfriend, crashed and showed up at the press conference with a neck brace, who quit the Atlanta, Moore Jr., quit the Atlanta Falcons. Like, the NFL jobs aren't for everybody, but just about anybody can coach a college program, not the level of USC. But just about anybody. It takes somebody who knows what they're doing to coach an NFL team.
Right. And in college, when you look at that, it's a very select. There's only one Nick Saban. I mean,
right.
Urban Meyer bounced around, right? As successful as he was, you know, Florida to Ohio State, from Utah. But, you know,
Bobby Bowden.
You look how the best thing about
Joe Paterno.
I mean, those days are over. That's what I mean is, like, the best thing today about getting a college coaching job is the buyout. I mean, that's the best thing you can look forward to, basically, on paper. Okay, Dabo Sweeney was able to get a program rolling, but look where Clemson is and look where it might be heading for the next.
Right.
You know, as I said, so there's only situations like Nick Saban come around once every Joe Paterno, right? So to even think that, oh, this is so like right now, the Pitt Panther job is on the same rung as the USC job.
There's no, I love USC as a football program. I love USC as a school. There's no better job than the University of Texas. Doesn't exist. They got the best facilities, better than Alabama. They play in a part of the country that's better to recruit kids. You're in the center of the country. Your flights are not long. It's the best college job. No one takes it. Mack Brown was okay. No one really wants the job. It becomes available, and now they're a rotating. They're a rotating seat. So college jobs suck. They're hard, and you're always capitulating to people who really have nothing to do with the program other than they give it money.
Right. And at the end of the day, all of these jobs, you're relying on 19, 20, and 21-year-old kids to self-preserve you at the end of the day. If you can at least maintain self-preservation yourself, right? So, I mean, I don't know where, you know, that Carson Palmer even came up with this, but to leave it to the Pittsburgh media, sports media, to run with something and just put Tomlin in this seat to say, well, they love to see, you know, is Tomlin still the right guy? I mean, he's won a Super Bowl. He's got the winning percentage. It's, you can bank that you're gonna have a good season when Tomlin is your coach.
The fact that at the end of the press conference, he said, y'all didn't ask Andy Reid this, y'all didn't ask Sean Payton this.
Love it.
That's the underhanded way of saying, come on now. Come on now. Did you bet on the Monday Night Football game?
I did not. You know, I mean, even with my free DraftKings credit, I did not. That was one I was like, oh God, I didn't even want to watch it, and it proved me correct.
Great friends, we have something for you from DraftKings.
What's up, everybody? You know, Browner and Law, hey, we're huge NBA guys, and the NBA is back at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports bettor and NBA partner. The keys to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5, $5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on any NBA team and win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. $200 in free bets, man. So why not? Why not get involved?
Right, because DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with the new same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Get that cash!
So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code GREATFRIENDS. Let me repeat that again. Promo code GREATFRIENDS. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. $200. If they win, you win. How can you beat that? Remember, Great Friends is the promotional code this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports bettor of the NBA. And remember, if you have problems gambling, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. There you go. So, I'm betting. I mean, I'm glad I didn't bet last night.
Yeah.
But Thursday night football, you better believe I'm putting some money on the line. I might be rolling in the dough. Let's talk. Look, there's so many layers to last night's game. Apparently now people are calling for Pete Carroll's job in Seattle. Talk about somebody. Geno Smith. Where do I start? What's the first thing and the last thing? Terrible, dog. You terrible. You're terrible. That's it. That's the end of the story for me. Did you get a chance to watch him just be pathetic after, if a guy's in the NFL for 9 years, and that's the effort you put out on the field? 9 years in the league, the coach doesn't trust you to throw him third down. Unless it's third and 16, which it was four different times in the fourth quarter, down the stretch. Like, you mean to tell me Cam Newton can't do that? Hell, you mean to tell me Colin Kaepernick can't do that? They're not going to bring him in, but there are a lot of quarterbacks right now selling insurance that could give you what Geno Smith gave you last night.
Yeah, that was like, I knew, you know, obviously he's a backup and he's in Seattle this long in his career. Obviously, you know, it's for the reasons of the fact that he's not a starting quarterback in this league. Sure. But, man, did I not think he was as bad as that last night. People saying maybe Pete Carroll should go back to USC. Maybe Geno Smith should go back to West Virginia. I mean, it's bad. Dude, I said last night I was texting with a buddy. I'm like, man, they ought to change his name to Geno. No. I mean, it's – yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's warranting a Pete Carroll firing yet at this point, but I think that there is definitely if you're Seattle, you definitely have to start thinking about your next move at the top, right? I mean, because Pete Carroll isn't a spring chicken, even if they were 5-2. So I think at some point right now, you got to start talking to Pete in those terms to say, hey, you know, where do we transition from here, Pete? Where do we go? Even if we bring you into 2022, I think that right now they'd probably be smart and just saying, let's sit down, Russ, even when he's technically ready. Why invest in all this money to get your guy killed on a season that's a wash? You know, you're looking down now at this division and you're going, look, the Rams and the Cardinals aren't going anywhere. They might be the top two seeds in the NFC along with Tampa or whatever shakes out, but they're not going anywhere. They're not coming back to us, and we're not playing up to that level anytime to get us close. So why don't we try to find somebody that Geno Smith can back up, and maybe, like you said, a Cam Newton or a Colin Kaepernick that maybe can just excite the fan base the rest of this season.
If you are asking Russell Wilson to get back on the field after week 10, when they are more than likely would have lost three more games, so you're at that point, you're now 2-7. You're 2-7. It's over. Do
even,
not
even at 3-6 or 4.
It's over.
Even at 3-6 or 4-5. Like I said, what the Rams and the Cardinals are doing have just displayed the fact that this season's over. It's a wash. You're not getting, and especially with the rest of the NFC. What, Tampa Bay, Green Bay? You're going to compete with you think you're going to go compete with these teams up at the top even? So why kill a guy that you've invested so much money for? And that's what I get with these like quarterback contracts. It's like, oh, let's go give it. Look, if you value these quarterbacks so much and you're willing to give them so much money, why are you willing to get them killed? You know, why are you willing to drop back Baker Mayfield 30 some times if he's got a labrum that might be torn? And then guess what? It is torn. And you're talking about giving him $25 million. Why are you not giving money to offensive linemen? And Pat Mahomes is going into the medical tent, but he's got $500 million, but he's limping off the field and you're helping him. Like, you're going to bring Russell Wilson out for week 10 for this?
If you were looking at the NFC's outlook from where we are now and wrapping up week 7 last night, the Bucs are probably going to win their division. The Cowboys are absolutely going to win that division because, it smells bad from here. The Cardinals or the Rams, much to my chagrin, will probably win that division, and the Packers are going to win their division. So now you mean to tell me that the Seahawks are going to crawl from the grave and win, what, 7 straight? To even get in the picture, you're going to have to win 7 straight if you lose until Russ comes back. It's just not feasible. So at this point, you are looking at the college games because it's time to start drafting.
Yeah, and the thing is like, even if Russ was out there, they're not good enough to, if at best, to win that game last night, maybe 20-13. And that's another type of possible wild card team in the NFC East, or in the NFC is the Saints, perhaps, because I think the Buccaneers right now are showing they're going to run away with it. I think the Packers right now are showing they're going to run away with it. I think other than the
Cowboys already ran away
with it. Yeah, the Cowboys are running away with it. Other than the NFC West, where there is going to be a battle, you're going to see really top heavy in the NFC from the division winners, and you're going to see some teams that are lucky to get into the wild card that aren't going to be competitive, whereas the AFC are going to have tough wild card teams.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe some division winners like a Tennessee or whoever comes out of the North or the West that goes, the Raiders won that division, but are they really going to? Whereas the NFC, it's going to be different. It's going to be like, wow, the division winners in this conference are beasts. And the division, you know, the wild cards don't have a chance. So what are you playing for? Bring your kid out, healthy next year, maybe with a plan to have Carroll in his last season handing over the keys to an associate head coach that you know can coach Russ in the twilight of his career at the back end of that contract.
Let's put some perspective on this, though. If Pete Carroll's success and Russell Wilson's success are tied together because Pete was not successful without him, and we haven't been able to see Russ successful without Pete, this is New England all over again, minus the championships. Because I'm telling you right now, people love Russell Wilson. He's great, but he ain't standalone great. And I'm ready to tell you, ain't nobody standalone great, because look at Patrick Mahomes. He's got two great weapons in Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, but they're struggling, so he's struggling. Mm-hmm. The offensive line is struggling, so he's struggling. If you get this whole let Russ Cook start boiling up again, you bring in somebody who he wants to be the head coach and he wants to be the coordinator, and it sucks, then what? Now what? Now you got to cut and check for the coach, now you got to fire, and then you got to find a new quarterback. So if you're asking me, I think it's very important that we all look at this. We step back and we look at this as a washed season. He had a terrible injury. We're not going to rush him back because he's got 3 or 4 years left of really good years that he can contribute to our franchise. And that's more important to us than this year that has now gone down the drain, period.
Yeah, and go find his possible backup for the future somewhere and help him guide that kid along in the next few years, you know, while he's healthy and if he's playing for a new coach or whatever. But,
right.
Yeah, this Seahawks even, you know, attempting to bring him back would be, I think, disastrous, and it would only create a possibility for him to further injure himself. And now you're looking at 2022 as a season where you don't even know what's going to happen.
Man, when we come back, this is Browner and Law. Hey, you're listening on the Mightier 1090. When we come back, I've got a loser for you that I don't even know if I'm going to be able to keep my cool when I start talking about it. Browner and Law, hey, we'll be back. Second half of the show. Welcome back to Browner and Lawhead. If you were just joining in, we had a great conversation about Mike Tomlin and winning, and Geno Smith and the Seattle Seahawks and losing. Hey, Jason. Jay, I'm here with Jason Lawhead. I'm John Browner. As always, you can find us on YouTube and on the iTunes Play Store. I always get confused with the Google Play Store. I'm going to stop saying that because I always lose it. Like, share, comment, follow. Whatever you do on social media.
We have to draw a treasure map of how they should can find us and put it on the screen.
Every like, time, yeah.
Like YouTube, like, you know, YouTube with a little trail to iTunes, to a little trail to Kaplan and Cruz website. And it's like a little treasure map on how to find the show. But
and then if you find it, we'll give you a prize. I don't know what that prize would be, but I'll find something. I got a closet full of stuff. I'll figure something out for you. Jason, what did you
I didn't hear you. We got a little broken. Last night's game in which one?
Because this half of this, we talked about last night's game. This half of the podcast, we're going to talk about the World Series. We're going to pick the winner of the World Series. But most importantly, before we do that, I want to get to a loser. I'm going to get to a capital L. You guys may or may not know this young man who you're about to hear of. This is Floyd Mayweather Jr. Junior.
Kyrie, what's up? I know you're going through a lot. We had a chance to hang out in 2016 when you represented America, when you represented the red, white, and blue. You only want to be treated fair. I was going to post something on one of my social media pages, but I decided to do it the old school way and read it out to you because you're a great person, great father, great athlete, and you believe what you believe. America is the land of the free. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and supposedly freedom to choose.
Now, listen, I'm not gonna continue to give you more of that. Well, I want to tell you, Floyd Mayweather posted that today on Twitter in response to Kyrie Irving. I don't know at this point, the martyr for the vaccine, I guess. This makes me so mad. This makes me so mad that this is happening. Because there was a protest outside of Barclays, where people were jumping over barricades saying, let Kyrie play. Hey, dumbasses, he's free to play somewhere else. He's free to play at a park near you, a YMCA. Hell, he can play in your driveway if you can cut the check. This, when you are on the side of certain people in this country, like, I don't know, Floyd Mayweather, who everyone on Fox News is now cheering, but hates him up until that point. If the far-right Republican anti-mask people are now making you their hero, when they were also telling you to shut up and dribble last year, I hope you know what's happening to you, Kyrie Irving. I really do. He is free. He chose to not play. He chose to not get vaccinated. That's freedom, too. That's freedom too. And the Nets chose not to pay his ass. You know why? Because that's freedom too.
Breaking news. Floyd Mayweather reads. That's what I got from that story was, wait a minute, Floyd. You're not really reading that. You had that whole thing already.
What take is this? Take 47.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I'm just, you know, so it's almost like I'm as tired of this story as I'm as tired of the Chappelle, I'm being canceled. Like, Chappelle keeps, you know, the only ones keeping it alive and keeping it relevant are the people that just won't let it go when it's really gone. And you've made that point, right? Like, yeah, I mean, he's free to choose and he chose. And, you know, this is a different choice than we've had as freedoms go in our lifetime, and especially didn't see it coming. What have you? There's a lot of other cities he can play in, but yeah. much like Ben Simmons, he's torpedoed his value, right? Because now even if Ben Simmons, if you felt like Ben Simmons could go in there and make free throws in the fourth quarter, would you even trade for a guy that's bringing a cell phone to and putting it in his pocket? Like, is this the guy you even want on your team? Like, that kind of a sulk, that kind of sulky. So is Kyrie Irving that kind of, you know, self-interest, so to speak? Is that somebody you want on your 12-man roster or in your locker room when you look back and you go, well, you know, other than riding side saddle with LeBron, who just kind of dominated a playoff series and right. Yes, you hit a big shot, what did you do for Boston? What did you do last year for the Nets? Like, really, what have you ever really brought? So, yeah, I mean, Mayweather, obviously, you know, saying something for some effect or some reaction. And yeah, you know, it's weird that, you know, the people now aligned with the point of views of certain people are, you know, so I'm just, at the end of the day, I'm just so tired of it and I want to move on. I want, you know what I mean? Like, the Kyrie, the Chappelle special, like, these are just things that are dragging into the, yeah, how do these things stay alive when the news cycle just churns over new stuff all the time? But here we are, Floyd Mayweather. I think he was just reading emojis. That's how he reads. Like, he was like, red, white, and blue. He just had the flag. And then he was like, we hung out in 2016. He just had the year. So, but you know,
bullet point read this. I'm gonna read this note. It's bullet point.
I'd love to see that. Somebody should do a split screen of what the phone looks like, and it's just emojis. It's a trail of emojis telling him what to say.
it's just faces. It's GIFs.
Just GIFs and emojis. Just sound out the GIFs, Floyd. Just sound them out.
When Candace Owens is on your side, you should switch sides.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that Clay Travis is on your side, bro. Just switch sides.
Right.
Like, Jason Whitlock's on your side. Just switch sides, man. Like, if you look up and you go, wait, I'm trending with Jason Whitlock. Whatever you doing that he doing, stop it. Stop it. Period. If you driving, stop driving. If he's driving, you driving, and y'all in the same key, stop driving. Get out. Walk. Ride a bike. Like, just don't do it. Just don't do it. Oh, no. I hated to bring that up.
But yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, come on, Floyd, man. Like, you're way late on this one. It's like, right. it's like you've dodged this topic more than you've dodged, you know, contenders. So why don't you just sit this one out? It's the 13th round.
This is, well, I mean, if we're looking at his career, this is the perfect time for him to speak up. It's almost over. No one really cares about it anymore. And now he wants to fight. So
sure, and that's where this is coming mostly from, I'm sure, is more of a point of, you know, shock relevance and headlines. You know, we're talking about it on our show. So there you go.
You know what? Floyd Mayweather was famous for people betting against him. But we got a deal for you that you should probably bet for something you care about or bet for something you don't care about. DraftKings.
Browner and Longhead, we're huge NBA guys, and the NBA is back at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports bettor and NBA partner. The keys to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5, $5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on any NBA team and win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. $200 in free bets, man. So why not? Why not get involved?
Right, because DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with the new same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Get that cash!
So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code GREATFRIENDS. Let me repeat that again. Promo code GREATFRIENDS. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. $200. If they win, you win. How can you beat that? Remember, GREATFRIENDS is the promotional code this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports bettor of the NBA. And remember, if you have problems gambling, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah.
All right, man. We're here now. It's the World Series. Many of you are probably driving going, wait, what? If that's today? Yeah, it's happening right now. It's happening right now. And if you're listening to this via podcast, it's probably already happened. So it's the Astros and Red Sox. For those of you who don't know, you're listening to Browner and Lawhead. I'm John Brown. I'm joined by Jason Lawhead. Jason, are you excited for this? Are you excited for this?
You know, not as much as I usually am. And I usually am a huge Fall Classic October guy. You know, as a kid growing up, even I, as an Indians fan, as a little boy, we weren't very good. But we had our little run in the 90s there. And we've had some teams that have, you know, flirted with a title here and there in the last 20 years.
Who are you picking, Tommy or Albert Bell?
Oh, I'm taking Albert Bell all day long. I would take Albert Bell with a bad hip over Tommy. I mean, come on. All day long, I'd take Albert Bell. I mean, Tommy had a long career. He was able to find his way into, you know, but, you know, that's a whole nother 20-minute segment I could go on about Tommy. And
when Roberto Alomar spit on the umpire, where were you?
I can't remember where I was when he did that exactly, but, you know, what a ball player. I mean, other than doing that, he was, you know, other than doing that, he was a ball player. I mean, he was. I mean, he's one of the great modern day second basemen post Joe Morgan. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, but God, that team, I loved watching those teams, those mid to late 90 Indians teams. Major League Baseball did a great documentary on the dynasty that never was, about that team, because they just couldn't get it done. That you know, and it's funny now, you see the Braves back in a World Series again. It's been a long time. It's been since that group of teams that they had, and their only world title that came out of all those 20 some division titles was that 95 World Series against the Indians. And so this one, it's kind of a weird one in a way, because, you know, as successful as the Braves have been since that early 90s, kind of they put their kind of flag in the sand of being like, hey, we're going to be a perennial franchise. We're going to do the right thing. And since 91, when they got all those young pitchers and added Maddox later with young talent like Terry Pendleton, and they've just been able to kind of, you know, feed the farm and be successful for the most part, they still really don't have a lot of big fan love in Atlanta. They're not some huge, you know, they don't go really wild. Now, they come out for the playoffs. Sure, they're in the World Series. They'll be tomahawk chopping like they've been there all the time, whatever. And same with the Astros. The Astros have obviously had some recent success, and they've had some successes with some people.
The most part, they've been a dumpster fire, too.
But their fans are just turnouts, you know. They just kind of, these aren't. So the only thing I don't like about this series is, like, kind of historic fan bases kind of are just kind of, hey, we're here because you're here, but we're not here when you're just regular baseball every day kind of. So I think that kind of swings and misses a little bit in this World Series. But obviously they're the two best teams in their league, and they showed it going through the playoffs here. I love Dusty Baker, but I don't want the Astros to win a World Series.
I like Dusty Baker until he went on with this craziness to start the season about how this team has been victimized, and everywhere they go, people hate them. It's like, hey Dusty, you're a baseball historian, bro. You don't know what these boys did. Where you been the last couple of years, bro? I mean, I know you took the job and you got to fight for your guys, but
right. Come on, bro. I think
at the end of the day, that was really what he was kind of doing. He was kind of just stomping it all out in the beginning so he didn't have to answer any of these questions later. So he can play, hey, I told you in the beginning of the season, we had, you know, we were victimized just as much as what, and look, he's been in baseball long enough to know that they've been trying to cheat every which way but possible, right? Right. I mean, Dusty invented the high five. Do you know that? A lot of people don't know that. He did. Dusty Baker invented the high five at home plate with Reggie Smith, I believe it was. He had a home run on, I think, the 75, 76, one of those playoffs, 77 maybe. And if you even see the high five, even after he invented the high five, you'll see even when like year later, two, three, four, until guys were still just shaking hands at home plate. They'd come across even a big home run and they'd get a handshake. And it eventually slowly the high five kept coming more and more. And but yeah, look up history. Dusty Baker invented the high five.
This is going to be the lowest rated World Series in the history of television.
Yeah, it will be.
I believe that with every fiber of my viewing body, because I'm not going to watch a game of this. And you know who doesn't watch baseball? Atlanta. I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't sell out. I really wouldn't, because people in Atlanta don't really care about much. They like the Hawks. They love the Falcons. And I think at the way
show up fans, they always have been.
Yes, in the way that baseball has been treated in Atlanta, what they did with Cobb County. How they had a stadium, then they moved the stadium because the stadium was in the suburbs, and they moved it to the city, and then people didn't like it because there were black people there, and so they moved the stadium back out to the suburbs. And they've got a very weird history with the attendance at their games. And so I will be shocked if they sell it out, because I don't think people – I think people in Atlanta woke up this morning and was like, we still playing baseball? Oh, I mean, I guess I'll go. How much are the tickets? So that's the kind of feel I think Atlanta has about baseball. And two, I'll bring this back locally, because this is why I wanted to really talk about this. The Braves aren't that much better than the Padres. I mean, look at their roster. Look at what happened during the season. They had a guy go down, and they made two or three smart trades at the deadline. And they're in the World Series. So for anybody in hearing my voice in Southern California that reps the Brown, that follows the Friar, I should put both of those things on t-shirts. Look at this. Look at this. Look at what's happening. Look at what's happening. So the idea that you're so far behind the Dodgers or you're so far behind the Giants because where you finished in the standings, don't be so sad about it. Don't be so sad about it. But I think the Astros are going to win the World Series.
Yeah, I do too. I think the Astros will win the World Series. And if I go to my DraftKings app, I might even just put that on that today for a sweep. If anybody's going to sweep, it could be an Astros sweep. Although, you know, the Braves are playing gritty and they get timely at bats. They have all playoff long. So, but yeah, at the end of the day, Atlanta, weird history with their baseball. I mean, you know, they had a home run king that more than half the fan base didn't want to break Ruth's record because he was a black guy, back all those years ago, Hank Aaron. And, you know, so, yeah, it's a strange history. There's still tomahawk chopping and, you know, it's one thing. It's just weird. Move the stadium out of downtown because I don't feel comfortable tomahawk chopping around this many black people. You know, it's like, so, but
yeah, listen,
with everything that's going on, man, with the NBA season starting a little early and a lot of fans being excited about that, the NFL is as you know, peak and popular as that is right now with fans back in the stadiums and college football almost being played every single night. Hockey's back starting for those nutty hockey fans. This will be kind of just a World Series. Like, you know, by the time game four rolls around, you're like, hey, who's winning the World Series? Anybody winning? I don't even know who's
it over yet.
Right. Yeah. Who is it over yet? Did somebody sweep? Where are they at? So you're going to get a lot of that kind of just, checking your phone for the World Series instead of watching the World Series. I agree.
So I'm just glad that we got that out the way. Because we weren't going to come on this show and talk about every game.
But going back to one point, I do want to touch on one point about when you said the Braves are in they're not much better than the Padres. They're not much different. I like what you, and you're right. A lot of that is so correct, which is why it's so important who the Padres hire as their manager.
And, Let's talk about that. They
did interview Ozzy today.
And I've been saying that since this started, that Ozzy Guillen's the hire, not Brad Ausmus. Mm-hmm. If you brought in Bruce Bochy, yeah, I wouldn't care about that either. I'd be excited about that. Let me rephrase that. I'd be excited about that as well. I think Ozzy Guillen is the perfect hire. He's a Latin guy on a Latin-heavy club.
Yes.
He's a World Series manager.
Yes.
And most importantly, he will let A.J. Preller be A.J. Preller. Because when something goes wrong, somebody's in the slump, we won't be talking about Preller. We won't be talking about the players in the slump. We'll be talking about something stupid Ozzy Guillen said. And that's what he does.
Yeah. Right. And he gets those kind of guys like he did in Chicago. They were kind of an unsuspecting World Series champ when they won it, right? And he gets those kind of guys like he got Pierzynski. He got those kind of guys to play out of themselves. And maybe he can do that to a Hosmer. Maybe he can get these guys back up out of their saddle and playing at least somewhat to where they're worth some of the money they're getting. And I agree. I think if Bruce Bochy was the hire, I think he would have already made that call to be like, hey, look, I'm ready to go. I want to manage the team. And that this would already be over. I think if Bruce Bochy wanted the job and he would have expressed it somehow with a phone call to say, look, I'm invigorated. I'll give you 3 great years or 4, you know. But I don't. That hasn't come along yet. And I don't think, you know, if Bochy hasn't made that call to say, look, I want to be the guy. Then I think Ozzy is the right move. And if they've interviewed him today, you know, make a splash, make some news during the World Series, hire this guy and say, hey, look, you know, what you just said, what he did in Chicago, we've got, you know, all the things. We've got a guy that's going to be able to communicate in the clubhouse, you know, the right way.
Peace.
Peace.